Man, that never gets old, does it? You know, when I went into the ministry 25 years ago, I had no idea that Pete Townsend and the Who would be introducing me every Sunday. I love it. Gary, team, thank you guys. What a beautiful time of worship. Well, good morning, church. How's everybody? It is, as Brandon said, a beautiful day for a baptism and a gorgeous day, July day, for lunch on the lawn. So I hope that you'll stick around, all of you. Everybody's invited to celebrate with us out here today and then have a burger and a dog afterward. We don't get too many days in July like this where the humidity is kind of low, so God's given us a good one. We're thankful for that. Who are you? We are continuing our summer series. Are you guys enjoying this so far? I think this is our third week. We're talking about obscure characters in the Bible. And boy, we've reached deeply the last couple of weeks, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Today, our who, if you will, is a man by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius. And his story is told in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10. So if you've got a Bible with you, put your finger there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. It's just to the right of the Gospels, Acts chapter 10. If you've got the Bible on your phone, you can scoot there now. If you don't have either, don't worry about it. Just follow along. But we're going to be talking about Cornelius, and through his life, we learn that the love of God for every human being knows absolutely no boundaries. And we learn that God's desire to reconcile each one of us to Himself is limitless. He loves us beyond what we can possibly imagine. God is our creator. God is our sustainer. We walked away from God in the garden, and that has trickled down to every human being. But God is also our redeemer through the Christ that we've just been singing about. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. That means he was a soldier. And he was the first Gentile or non-Jewish person to become a follower of Jesus in the Bible. The first in what is now a line of billions who have believed the gospel and been baptized in Jesus' name. Cornelius' story teaches us that the gospel has no boundaries, that God's love and God's forgiveness is not restricted to any one group of people, but that it is available to all who acknowledge their need for Him. Let me ask you something this morning. Where are you in that process? Where are you in the process of acknowledging your desperate need for God? Or even recognizing that you have a desperate need for God? Centurions were professional military officers in the first century. They were Romans who commanded a minimum of a century, thus the name, which was 100 Roman troops. Usually they commanded between 200 and 500 troops. They were highly esteemed in the culture of the day for their courage, for their character, and for their bravery in battle. They fought alongside their troops. They weren't behind the lines. They were always on the front line with their troops at the very end of the formation, fighting along with their men. They were well paid by the Romans. They were held in high esteem. They were influential men everywhere they were stationed, but they all had a low life expectancy because of the nature of their work. Cornelius was stationed at a place called Caesarea, and it was an outpost near Jerusalem on the Mediterranean coast. He had been there for quite a while, evidently, and he had a good reputation with the Jewish people in that area. He was kind, the scripture tells us. He was a generous man who gave to the poor, and we're told that he often prayed to the God of Israel. So Cornelius had evidently been stationed in Palestine there, surrounded by the Jews, and somewhere along the way, the God of Israel had gotten his attention. And he had seen the Jews praying, he had seen the way they practiced their faith, and God drew him to himself. And so the Jews called folks who were kind of on this path, they called them God-fearing or God-fearers. And that's how Cornelius is referred to here in Acts chapter 10. It's always fun when you grab the wrong Bible. Acts chapter 10. Follow along with me as I read, beginning in verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." And Cornelius stared at the angel in fear, as every person in the Scripture that encounters an angel does, as I'm sure you and I would as well. And he says, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa," which was a city just south of Caesarea on the Mediterranean coast. He says, "Send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter." This is Peter the rock, the one that Jesus built the church on. He was the pastor, if you will, of the Jerusalem church in these early days. And so the angel tells Cornelius to send some folks to Joppa to bring back this man named Peter. And he says he's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So at the same time as we move forward in chapter 10 of Acts, at the same time that Cornelius's guys were headed to Joppa along the coast, Peter was on the roof of a home in Joppa, the home of Simon the tanner. And it was just before dinner time, and while dinner was being prepared, Peter was on the roof of this home and he was praying. And the Bible tells us that he was praying when God gave him a strange vision as well. Mind you, Christianity at this point in the juncture was very young. This is about 34 AD, just a few years after the resurrection. It was essentially a Jewish sect, if you will, at this point. There were only Jewish followers of Christ, a movement among the Jews alone. Peter is the leader of that movement. And in his vision, Peter sees what appears to be a sheet rolled down from heaven. Kind of picture this in your mind's eye. So Peter is on the roof of this house, probably overlooking the Mediterranean Sea in Joppa. He's praying before dinner time, and then suddenly he's almost cast in a trance. And this, what appears to be a sheet, rolls down from heaven in front of him, kind of like a movie screen, if you will, in our day. And he begins to see these images flashing up on the screen. He sees all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles, but all of these animals are animals that the Jews, by law, were not allowed to eat. Foods that were considered unclean and impure. And then suddenly a voice from heaven tells Peter to get up, kill, and eat. Wow. In other words, the voice is telling Peter, God is telling Peter, that we are moving beyond the boundaries of old. That God is doing a new thing. That since Christ's resurrection, we've moved out of the era of the law, and we've moved into a season of grace. and the reality that God's grace is available for absolutely every human being on the planet. Peter says this. He says, "Surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything unclean." He was a devout Jew, a fisherman by trade. And the voice then says three times for emphasis, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And then the movie was over. And the screen rolls back up to heaven. And as Peter's just sitting there, if you can imagine this, Peter's just sitting there scratching his head wondering what in the world just happened. The men that were sent by Cornelius in obedience to his vision knock on the door of Simon the Tanner. And the Spirit tells Peter to go with them. And so Peter does. Back in Caesarea, Cornelius gathers his family and he's gathered many close friends with the expectation that Peter is coming. And they greet Peter when Peter arrives. And Peter walks into this house, a devout Jew full of Gentiles, those who were considered unclean by all the other Jews. And he discovers for the first time that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has given his life to as a Jew, transcends every barrier. Acts chapter 10, verse 28. Peter says this. He walks into this house, the house of a Gentile, never been in the house of a Gentile before. Not allowed to go into the house of a Gentile. So this is a brand new experience for Peter. Something that he would have been remarkably uncomfortable with. And he walks in that house and he says this. He says, "You are all aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean." And fast forward a couple thousand years to today. And the way that we view certain people in our society, in our world, and in our culture. And this has remarkable impact. This is not just a truth that sits in antiquity. This is a truth that has bearing until the end of time and into eternity. God's grace extends to absolutely every human being on the face of the earth. He loves us all, and His desire is to reconcile us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. The significance of what's happening in this scene is lost on us to a degree today. For a Jew to enter a Gentile's home, to consider them on the same level, to believe that God was actually speaking to them, and it was unheard of in the first century. Mind you, almost simultaneously to this going on, Jesus is appearing on the road to Damascus to a gentleman by the name of Saul. Saul, this Pharisee of Pharisees, this Jew of Jews, is being converted in an undeniable experience with the risen Christ to become a believer who would ultimately be the apostle to the Gentiles. Almost simultaneously, back to back here in the book of Acts. And so God is at work, and God is revealing to Peter, He's revealing to Paul through these undeniable experiences that the gospel, that the good news of God's grace, the good news of God's forgiveness through Jesus alone transcends every barrier. It's not just for a chosen few. That God's love and His mercy is no respecter of persons. And we need to be reminded of that from time to time, don't we? Maybe especially those of us who are in the church need to be reminded of that from time to time. What occurs here in Acts chapter 10 is earth-shaking. Literally, Peter and Cornelius' encounter is the catalyst for the launch of the gospel around the world. Had this event not occurred, you and I would not be sitting here today. Think about that. The first Gentile to surrender his life to Christ, to acknowledge his sin before God, and to step over the line and be baptized. Cornelius opened the door as a God-fearer whose heart was being drawn to God, as one who was seeking God. He opened the door for the hope of Jesus to spread to every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Obscure character? Yeah. Essential in the kingdom of God? Man, you better believe it. The first Gentile to step over the line. The first Gentile, along with his family and friends, to believe and be baptized. Let me ask you something this morning. Does the gospel transcend every barrier in your life? Are there people, are there groups of people that you view as beyond the grace of God? You'd never say it. But neither would you set foot in their home. Neither would you be seen associating with them. And God moved Peter beyond his barrier of comfort. He moved Peter beyond cultural norms that were ancient, beyond concern for what other people thought. And in doing so, he lit a torch that still burns today. Brandon and Preston are being baptized right out here this afternoon in a long line of those who would follow Cornelius and his family. And with the divisive rhetoric in our culture today, people are being sectioned off, lines are being drawn, barriers are being built. And it's essential to remember, as we sit polished in the pew, that God plays no favorites. God plays no favorites. And as Peter is in that room surrounded by these folks that everyone he knew in all of his history would tell him he cannot be around, he says this. He says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. But the religious Jews had become holier than thou. They had become a self-righteous bunch who turned their noses up at anyone who wasn't like them and couldn't follow their rules. They were God's favorite. They were his chosen ones, and though they were told time and time again that they had been blessed to be a blessing, they hoarded God's hope and they claimed it for themselves. And the church today often drifts to that very same place. But if we take a left from Acts and we go back into the Gospels and we look at Jesus' ministry and we look at what Jesus focused on and we look at what Jesus said to those who were hoarding the hope of God, he essentially paved the way for Peter here. Jesus reserved his harshest words for those who played favorites. Remember, man, it's like Jesus was hanging out in the bars with the prostitutes and the sinners, rubbing shoulders with folks that everybody in his culture would never get near. He paved the way for Peter, and he reserved his harshest words for the Pharisees, for the religious people of his day, for those who hoarded God's hope and held on to it. That's why the church should never, ever become a holy huddle. The church should never hoard the hope of Christ. and refuse to share it with those who aren't like us. It's a transcendent message that God delivered both to Cornelius and to Peter in this remarkable encounter. And as we see in this story, the gospel transcends every barrier. God's love and forgiveness in Christ knows no boundaries. It plays no favorites, and it transforms every seeking heart. While Peter was still speaking, he had shared the gospel, the good news of what had just transpired just some 3 years earlier. Not a story that he made up, not something that had been passed down through the ages, but something that he was an eyewitness of just 3 years ago, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who was seen to be dead, who was buried in a tomb, and yet raised again. And Peter shares that gospel message with Cornelius, his friends, and his family. And in verse 44 of Acts 10, the scripture says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And so standing in that room full of Gentiles, Peter tells the story of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, of how he ate with Jesus after his death, of how Jesus appeared to over 500 other eyewitnesses after his death. And then Peter closes the story with these words. He says, everyone who believes in him, in Christ, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. There is no other religion, there is no other philosophy on the face of the earth that claims this. There is no other God who is sought that reaches down to us with a gift like this. The forgiveness of sin. In the quietness of our own nights, in the times that we're alone, in the struggles that we experience internally in our own hearts and minds, man, we know we need this. We know we do. And Peter says, everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sin through the name of Jesus. And that forgiveness is available nowhere else. And it is that forgiveness and that forgiveness alone that transcends the barrier and overcomes the barrier that separates us from the Father, the cross of Christ. And the cross of Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? No man comes to the Father except through me. That's the gospel. As exclusive as it is, unashamedly exclusive, yet absolutely available as a gift to everyone. And to the astonishment of the Jews that were with Peter, who had accompanied his entourage to Caesarea, the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius' entire family and friends, and a new era in the kingdom of God was born. An era we live in even to this day. And Peter responds this way. He said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. They have been converted, if you will. They have come into the kingdom of God through the drawing of God's Spirit. That's what that means. And so he ordered that they all be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The first Gentiles to move through the water of baptism. And the gospel transcends every barrier. It plays no favorite, but it finds fertile ground in every seeking heart. And is your heart seeking this morning? Is your heart open to the truth of God? Maybe for your entire life up to this point, you've not been open to the truth of the message of the gospel. For whatever reason. Maybe you've been in church, you didn't like it. You've been around church people, you didn't like them. Church and church people aren't the gospel. Hang around with me long enough and I'll probably drive you away. I'm serious. It's not about me, as Brandon said. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about, you know, our imperfection in reflecting the glory of God. It's about the truth of the gospel and the truth and the purity of God's love for every human being and the fact that He's made a way for us to be reconciled and reunited in relationship with Him. That's the gospel. That He loved us so much that He'd be willing to sacrifice His own Son. We say that so much in church that it loses its impact. Think about that. That God's love was so deep that He would be willing to give, to sacrifice His own Son to pay the penalty for our sin. And Jesus was only able to do that because He lived a sinless and perfect life so that He could be the perfect sacrifice. And in His death, He takes on the sin of all men. And when we believe that, our sin is forgiven. And when we acknowledge that the Father raised Him from the dead, we step into the new life that He gives us. It's a beautiful thing. We're going to see a picture of it in baptism out here today. The good news. Jesus' death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection for the forgiveness of our sin. Man, it is as fresh and it is as real and it is as available today as it was to Cornelius and the first Gentiles to receive it. Do you believe it? And that's the question that we've all got to come face to face with. Man, do you believe this stuff? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was sent as a sacrifice for your sin, that no one comes to the Father except through Him. Man, I encourage you today to allow the gospel to transcend any barrier that you've set up in your heart against it. Whether you're a Christian already or whether today may be the day that you step over the line for the first time. Man, as followers of Christ, we're consistently setting up barriers in our own lives to keep Christ away from part of our life. Allow the gospel to transcend any barrier you've set up against it. Man, surrender your life to Christ for the first time or afresh and anew. Today. And if you want to follow Cornelius and his family in that long, beautiful line of baptism, man, we got some extra towels. Just tap me on the shoulder. We'll let you in. It's a beautiful thing that we do here. It's an ancient tradition of life. It is the truest thing on the face of this earth, the offer that God has given us of life in Jesus Christ. Cornelius started it for us as the Gentiles, and we continue that long tradition today. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we sit in just a moment, Lord, of rare silence in our day to day, speak to our hearts. Lord, just as You gave Cornelius and Peter a vision 2,000 years ago, Lord, You speak to us in similar ways. We may not see a sheet rolling down from heaven, but Father, we hear Your still small voice when we're willing to listen. Lord, I pray today that you would reveal to us where we have raised up barriers in our own lives with respect to who we're willing to reach out to, with respect to who we're willing to spend time with respect to how we view the other people around us. Lord, help us to lay those barriers down, to surrender them to you. And Father, in this time, if there's anybody here today that's just never stepped over that line, Lord, but you're drawing them to yourself, I pray today would be the day, even in the seat that they're sitting in right now, that they would just acknowledge the truth of who Jesus is and invite him into their lives for forgiveness and life. Lord, that's all that we need to do to be reconciled to you. I pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.